kicking off a brand new series that's going to go through the whole summer, and when I tell you the title of it, you're going to lose your minds. You're going to be so excited that you're going to be on the edge of your seats the entire summer. When I tell you the title of this new sermon series, you're going to call people that you love and let them know how excited you are about this new sermon series that we're going to go through the whole summer. And do you believe me? No, you do not. So, are you ready for me to tell you the name of the sermon series that we're going to go through this entire summer? Ready? Okay, please don't applaud after, okay? Please don't lose your mind. Okay, so it's called, ready? It's called Summer of the Bible. Maybe the microphone was off. Summer of the Bible! Now, I sense that maybe you're not as excited as I am. And I get it. I'm a bit of a nerd about the Bible stuff. But I want to just win you over with maybe a little taste. And today we're going to have a little taste of the summer of the Bible. Now, when we talk about the Bible, we're a Bible church. We're always thinking and talking about the Bible. But what we're going to do during this series is we're going to take like a zoom out and look at like what the Bible is, how it works, how it's designed to work in a community like ours. And we'll explore things like literary genres and all these different bits and a ton of weird stuff too. It's going to be tons of fun. You're going to love it. Because when we go to the Bible, many of us, we kind of have this working assumption of what it is that we're doing. In fact, I'll frame it to you this way. And by the way, if you have a print Bible, I want to invite you through the Summer of the Bible. I want to invite you to bring a print Bible. You don't have to if you don't want to, but we're going to do some stuff with like print Bibles that might be fun for you. When I say fun, I mean church fun, not actual fun, but might be fun for you to do. And if you don't have a Bible, like a print Bible, we'd love to give one to you. There's some available on the table just right back here under the Live It Out poster. And if you don't have a Bible, just take that. That's our gift to you. So when we hold a print Bible in our hands, and I want to just ask you a question to think about throughout this series. And what is this? Like, what is it? Okay, so like you guys tell me. Like, when people say like what is this thing? People say like the words of God. Okay, so what does that mean? Like, what else? What is it? It's a book. Okay, a book of what? What else do we call this thing? Like. Literature, yeah, it's different literature. It's scripture. Okay, good, 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 yeah. So the question is, like, so what? Like, how does it work? Because, like, you guys familiar with cookbooks? What are cookbooks full of? Recipes, right? And so when you go to a cookbook, you know what the expectation is. If you go to a novel, what's in a novel? Like usually one long story, right? When you go to a different types of books, cookbooks, novels, there's usually an expectation that you have as the reader of what this experience is going to be like, right? But is it that way with the Bible? So we're going to look throughout the Summer of the Bible series. We're going to be exploring the nature of the Bible, how it all works. If you're new to the Bible, this is a great time for you to be hanging out with us because you're going to get kind of a bird's eye view and some deep dives into some like more obscure bits around the scriptures. And this is helpful to us because sometimes if we don't think about what the Bible is and how it's designed to work and what it's supposed to do, sometimes we can have funny things that we do with the Bible or strange things that we do with the Bible. Like there's all these different ways to read and engage and apply the Bible. Like I know that there's some folks, and I'm not trying to, I am going to poke fun, but I'm not trying to throw shade. It's this thing where if I memorize different parts of the Bible, then when I get into trouble and I say those words out loud, like magic, God will do a thing. So the Bible then is kind of like Harry Potter, right? It's just like you say the magic words, you know, Our Father who art in heaven, and then like the problem goes away. Okay, so that's a way to engage the Bible. There's other ways too. Like some people will take a little bit, like a verse or just a little something, and they'll say, these words, when you string them together, they have profound meaning in my life. And they'll say things like, this is like my life verse, or they'll get like a tattoo of it, or they'll put it on a coffee mug, and they'll take the text out of its context and say, this has like profound meaning for me. Still other people will have this question, right? They're faced with a decision. decision or a difficulty and they don't know what to do. And so they say, God, would you help me figure out what job to take? God, what should I do? Slay the Philistines. Oh no. Oh no. And they think that God's gonna kind of like show them exactly what to do in any given situation. And so there's all these different ways that we can go to the Bible. So before we engage the text, it's good to know and just think through, what am I reading and how does it work for me and how does it work on me? And just today, I wanna give you just a bird's eye view that's been very helpful for me as I've engaged in the scripture. We're gonna be looking at, throughout this series, we're gonna be anchored in this text in 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 17. I might end at 16 or 15, we'll see. And it's in your handouts as well. And I want you to listen to this dude named Paul, who was a pastor, and he's writing to this dude named Timothy, who is also a pastor. Paul is kind of like his mentor. And Paul's encouraging Timothy, and this is what he says. So I want you to pay attention to what he says about Scripture, because we are in a sermon series that we're kicking off today called Bible. We're close. We're close. Three more weeks and you guys are going to be so jazzed. Okay, so it says in verse 14, as for you, continue in what, so again, Paul's writing to Timothy, as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe. You know those who taught you, so Timothy was taught the Bible, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures. Is that weird that Paul says to Timothy, you've known the scriptures since you were a baby? Like, if you think I'm a Bible nerd, I was not memorizing the Bible as an infant. So I think that's kind of interesting that somehow in Paul's imagination, Timothy, as an infant, was somehow knowing or engaging Scripture. That might be a clue to, like, how we think about how Scripture works, because it also means kids can meaningfully engage the text. It might even be you don't even have to read to engage the text. Wow, that's interesting. I mean, to me, it's interesting. So let's keep going. The scriptures which are able to give you, okay, so the scriptures are able to do what? Give you. Okay, so what's it for? What's it gonna do? Check this out. Wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. What was the W word there? Wisdom. Okay, so all throughout scripture is this idea of wisdom. Wisdom, I mean, a way to put it is wisdom is that thing that goes on inside of us when we're having to make decisions or navigate something where maybe there's this path or this path we can go down. And wisdom is that thing that we do when we're trying to figure out which of these two paths or which way or which decision is going to be like the best one. That's kind of like wisdom, right? It's the ability to what's sometimes called discern what the best path is, this way or this way. And so the scriptures are designed to give to us something, wisdom. But it's a specific kind of wisdom that leads to a faith and a salvation that's anchored in Jesus. So one way to put like what the Bible is, and this is an amalgamation of some theologians that I've really appreciated. I didn't come up with this on my own. But it's a way to think about what the Bible is in like a quick sentence is this. You ready? This is the summer of the Bible. Thank you. The Bible is ancient. It's an ancient wisdom story that's preserved for us to point us to Jesus. It's an ancient wisdom story that's preserved for us to point us to Jesus. Here's why I think it's important that all those bits fit together. Number one, it's ancient. Some of us here at DSBC, we've read bits of the Bible. If you have read a bit of the Bible and found stuff that's really weird, raise your hand. Now, one of the reasons why it can seem very strange to us is because we are reading about people who existed in a completely different time and space than our own. In a way, we're like time-traveling tourists. We're going back, like when you read about like ancient Israel, you're reading about an ancient civilization who talked different than you and me. So it's ancient wisdom literature. And so we've got to think through, okay, well, like, are all of my sensibilities and the way that I talk here as a as an American in 2025, is that how they thought? And you'll quickly discover that's not really how they thought. But it's not only ancient, it's also a wisdom story. That the stories in Scripture, the one overarching story that you see in Scripture, is designed to make us wise no matter when and where you live. And so it's ancient wisdom story. Most of the text could be understood as one overarching story that ultimately points us to Jesus. That's important. It's not just a bunch of different bits that are thrown in there. It is a highly curated ancient wisdom story that's designed to point us to Jesus. And it's preserved for us. There's this thing, again, I'm not trying to throw shade, but I think it might be a little bit confusing. I have heard people do this. You ready? They've held up the Bible, or a print Bible like this, and they said, this is God's love letter to you. I don't know if you guys have ever heard that. And I get what they're trying to say, like God loves you, which God does love you. But have you ever read a letter that's written to you? Yeah. How does it start? Like, what's usually at the top? Dear you. And then is it in usually a language you can understand? And are most of the references things you're familiar with? Does the Bible read that way?
No.
No. If I go to the Bible and say, okay, this is God's word written to me right now, I might have some like expectations of the text. Whereas instead, I want to recognize, okay, this is not written to me, but it's preserved for me. Like God in his infinite wisdom has captured this Jesus-centered wisdom in this one big overarching story, and it's preserved for us today, and it's preserved for people all over the world throughout human history. So the wisdom that you find in the scripture works whether you are living on a mountaintop in 7th century Tibet or in Phoenix, Arizona in 2025. Even though our cultural contexts are going to be very different than the ancient texts, there's a wisdom there that's going to point us to Jesus. And moreover, part of that wisdom, and it's really fascinating how the Bible talks about this, is being made into a person who is like Jesus by encountering God in the text. So the Bible is not just data transfer, but it's an invitation to even in the moment have an experience with the living God. And so all of these things, they shape us into the image of Jesus. We become wise. Now, the ancient text, like even before they were written down, as best we can tell, much of the time, some of the oldest stuff in the Bible, like I don't know if you guys heard the book of Genesis and stuff or the book of Exodus, but some of those really old bits, we're pretty sure that they were spoken out loud before they were written down. That people would share these stories, these bits of scripture orally. In fact, for most of human history, the way that people engaged with scripture was that they would hear it, not read it. And so a lot of scripture is really artistically designed for the delight of an engagement of the listener, not necessarily the reader. And sometimes we miss some of this stuff because, you know, we're reading an English translation and sometimes stuff gets lost in translation. I don't know if you guys are, so anyone who's bilingual, you know that sometimes there's something that sounds really poetic in your native language. And then like someone like me is like translated into English and it just is a little bit, doesn't quite work. I've done some work in different contexts where there's been a translator kind of with me, and I'll speak English, and then they'll translate in whatever language. And I remember one time I used the metaphor of, I'm so hungry I could eat a horse. That went south, by the way. Because for us, like at least for my context, almost everyone recognizes, like, he's not trying to eat a horse. But in translation, some of that got missed. So we have to be careful in recognizing that what we're reading when we read the Bible is we're reading a translation committee's best attempt at trying to take what was in the original text and giving it to us today. And this leads me to one final bit that's so important. The Bible, by and large, is not designed to read by yourself. It has no imagination of a person taking a print Bible, reading it by themselves. The scripture engagement was a communal exercise. It's designed to be a communal exercise. Whether you're reading it or you're hearing it or in some cases watching it, it's a communal exercise. Now, why might it be helpful for us to engage the story of the world in the Bible with other people? Why might it be helpful for us? You tell me. They might understand something you don't. What else? You have various interpretations. Have you ever like gone to a portion of scripture, read it, somebody else is at the same portion, and you took two totally different things from it? Yeah. So also it can be corrective. When I read the Bible by myself, I'm right. Like I crush it at Bible application when nobody else is peeking in. But when someone else is reading it with me, especially a community of people who are nothing like me or engaging it with me, there's a lot of like corrective stuff. I mean, one thing to think about is almost every cult leader reads the Bible by themselves. It can become a weapon to use against other people if we don't have a community of people led by the Spirit engaging the text together, because that's how it was meant to be done. Now, I think reading the Bible on your own is great, but it's designed to be engaged and entertained and engaged with in a community because it's a corrective, but it also gives us a fuller vision of what God's communicating to us through his word. And you know, many times in the ancient world and in a lot of modern spaces around the world too, they would engage the text around a campfire. Wow, Pastor Caleb put a lot of work into borrowing the splash camp stuffs for his metaphor. That's great. Yes, I put zero work into this. Huge thanks to our splash camp setup crew. But here we have a campfire. Now, the ancients would oftentimes engage in scripture. Usually there was like a teacher or a letter reader, someone who would read maybe a scroll or a letter out loud, or someone would have it memorized, and they would share it like around a campfire like this, and then they would talk about it. This is like how the Bible historically has been engaged in for centuries. And so I'm going to get us a fire going here. So does anyone know how to start a fire? I think you like rub the sticks together. I'm not really an outdoorsy type person. So we're going to do it how I do it when I go camping. We're going to get this campfire going real quick here. Yeah, this is going to be great. So I just got to get my matches here and then.
Wait. Hold up. I just got a call from the fire marshal. He said that's not safe.
This is not safe.
That's not wise.
It's not wise.
It's not wise.
I need wisdom.
Read your Bible. He's not reading his Bible.
So are you saying that it would be unwise for me to pour 5 gallons of gasoline onto this combustible wood in a room full of people right now?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It's not just not safe, but that's actually not a real fire pit.
What? Are you going to tell me that this is highly decorated styrofoam?
That's
because
what I'm
would be a disappointment.
Yeah. But don't worry, I got you.
All right, what are you going to do?
I knew that all along. I just wanted to see.
Well, now I look foolish. Now I do. Could you hand me that bucket? So I thought maybe what we'll do is we're going to like try this out, like this idea of communal Bible reading around a campfire. And I'm going to draw some names from some of our adventure kids who said that they might want to come up here. And so would, let's see here, Landon Hughbanks join me here as one of our campers. Give it up for Landon. And then we've got Serena. Is Serena in the house? Serena, come on up. Give it up for Serena. And one more camper, Autumn Meeks. Is Autumn in the house today? Yeah, let's give it up for our campers. Great. So you can have your pick of chairs, but that's the only one left. This is our Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle camp chair. Are you going to be okay? You all right?
No.
No? Is a little low? All right. I think you're in good form. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I will take on the role of like the teacher, the person who's going to read the Bible, and then we're going to talk about it, okay? So, but listen to me. I kind of forget things sometimes. So I did my best to like memorize a story from the Bible, but I might get some of the details wrong, okay? And so what I need y'all to do is to give me some accountability, because I could get it wrong, and then correct me if what I'm telling is not like a Bible story, but maybe another story, okay? All right, so I'm going to do this. It's from memory. Ready? Here, actually, I need a commitment from you. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Maybe.
Yes, that's how I feel most of the time. Okay, so from memory, I'm going to tell a Bible story, and then we'll imagine it and we'll talk about it, okay? Ready? Okay, so a long time ago, there was a person named Luke. And Luke had a problem with his dad, who was a dark Sith Lord named Darth Vader, and he was part of an empirical regime to... What is it from?
That's from Star Wars.
But Luke is in the Bible.
Yes, he's a disciple, but that's from Star Wars.
It's a different Luke.
Yeah.
Embarrassed. Pardon me, you are correct. I didn't do that story right. Okay, so I've got another story that's coming to my mind, coming to my memory, but I'm going to need some help, okay? Are you ready? Now, as you all know, so much of the Bible happens around water. There's like floods and stuff like that and parting in the Red Sea. And this is a story that also happens around water. And there was a young woman who had a deep longing, okay? She wanted so bad to become a human. And so instead of being a mermaid, she sold her voice to an evil witch person named... What is it?
That's the Little Mermaid.
That's the Little Mermaid?
Yes.
Are there any mermaids in the Bible?
No.
Oh, well then I'm mixing up the stories. Ugh. Okay, well someone handed me a bit of a Bible story here, so maybe I should read what they wrote down and maybe that'll be probably the Bible story and then we'll imagine it. Okay, you ready? Okay, so this Bible story goes like this. There was someone named Garrett. The garbage man Garrison. Once a washed up gaming champ pulled into a blocky other world alongside, what is it?
It's the Minecraft movie.
That's the Minecraft movie?
Oh, and just so you know, they forgot Dennis in that.
Oh, Dennis wasn't in there? Oh, well maybe we should have you read it next time. Okay, so I don't think working from my memory is working, so why don't I just read the print Bible I have right here in front of me? Would that be a good idea? Okay. There is a portion of scripture that says, don't exasperate children. But I've not read that far yet. So here's what we're going to do. And I'm going to just read it. No funny business. I'm going to read it this time. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine it. And then afterwards, I'd love to hear what you imagined. Okay? So you ready? Ready? All right. And maybe you guys can join us too. So just imagine. It's not going to be a test. There's not going to be like right and wrong. There's just going to be what you imagine. Okay, here we go. It goes like this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth didn't have any shape, and it was empty. And darkness was all over the surface of the watery depths. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water. And then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was an evening, and there was a morning on that first day. Okay, so what did you guys imagine?
The sun in the sky for the day and the moon in the...
So you imagine like a sun and a moon and day and night.
Yes.
Yeah. What else did you imagine?
I imagined like just plain darkness and then a light just appeared.
So like everything is totally pitch dark and then like an electronic campfire, there was light.
Yeah.
What did you envision?
I imagined a dark earth, and then hovering over it was Jesus, and then he said, "Let there be light," and
wow.
Then a big light shined.
Big light, yeah. That hovering thing, a while back somebody read this out loud, and I was imagining something, and like what you said, hovering, like have you guys ever seen like a hummingbird?
Yes.
And you know how they like fly, but they kind of stay still? Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I imagined, like the Spirit of God was like a hummingbird, was like fluttering or floating or kind of over the waters, right? And then all of a sudden there's this voice, "Let there be light," and then boom, light. So each of us, we imagine something a little bit different. It was the same words, right? Like, did I read different words to each of you, or was that all for all of us? It was the same for all of us, right? But each of us imagined something different, and then we shared it with each other around a campfire. And that gave each of us a bigger understanding of who God is, who we are, and it showed us different things that maybe we didn't even see on our own. And you know who else got to experience that? All of those people who are not warming themselves by this delightful campfire. So can we say thank you to this camping crew for helping us? You guys want to go down that way? You can go down that way. Well, go around that way. Oh, yeah, go across this way. You go whichever way you want to go. So my invitation to us as a church as we go through Summer of the Bible is to recognize that when we engage the text together with different views and different perspectives, oftentimes it gives us a more broad perspective of what God is communicating, not only to us as individuals, but to us as a community. And it may be that as we hear from each other, that we are shaped more and more into the image of Jesus. We get to put into practice the character qualities of Jesus as we experience his word together. There's a variety of different ways and opportunities for y'all to do that here at DSBC. If you're not already plugged in with a group, there's some groups that meet on Sunday mornings or during the week that study the Bible together. There's also, I think there's a new group that's going through the Gospel of John starting up next week on Sunday mornings. There's also our Summer Nights program, which is most Wednesdays in June and July where we share a meal, we share communion. It's also a space for us to have good dialogue about faith and how we put that into practice. And that's on Wednesday nights, especially for those of us who are kind of cruising up north for the summer to get out of the heat. If you are here during the week, it's a great way to connect with church family. Also, we have summer gatherings that are in homes across the valley, and all of that information is available in your handout, or if you're joining us online, you just go to dsbc.church, and on the events tab, you can find out that information as well. But as we go through this Summer of the Bible, I'd invite you to be thinking deeply about how it is that God may want to be speaking to us in and through his word as we study it and engage it together. Now, another ancient practice, aside from engaging the text around campfires, is singing together. And one of the practices of the church is to sing the content of the Bible out loud to each other. Many of the hymns and songs that the church has sung for centuries is artistic ways of taking biblical truths and then reminding ourselves of that. And there's an old song called Doxology, which speaks to the fact that God is Father, Son, and Spirit, but also the source of all blessing. And so Pastor Danny is going to lead us as we conclude our time together in the song Doxology. And I would invite you to stand and sing this as our concluding prayer.
Thank you, Pastor Caleb. After we're done singing this song, the prayer team will be here in the front if you'd like to be prayed with. If you'd rather be prayed with in your seat where you're at, just raise your hand and they'll meet you wherever you're seated. Let's sing. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and